141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get ready for the second weekend of the new season. Brendan Rodgers says he's hopeful Celtic will get their business done by the end of the window, because the club always does. Russell Martin's not too fussed about the team being leaked for the midweek European game as he turns his attention to the Scottish Premiership. And a good night in Europe as Dundee United and Hibs fly the flag for Scotland. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Evans.
Great week for our self-esteem. Rangers wiped the floor with Victoria Pilsen. Hibs did the same to Partizan Belgrade away. And Dundee United, that 2-2 draw with Rapid Vienna is a seriously good result for Jim Goodwin's team. But a week on from saying he wasn't interested in maintaining Celtic squad, he wanted to improve Celtic squad, Brendan Rodgers still without a significant signing. And for me, he doesn't look a happy man.
Yeah, I think obviously for me, I'll echo what Hugh said. I think the three Scottish teams in Europe this week, fantastic performances. Dundee United last night, obviously taking that back to Tannadice. I think Rapid Vienna were a huge favourite. Hibs again, I've seen a lot of them over the last few weeks. They're going to be a proper side this year. And I think Ant-Man was the biggest impact in that Rangers squad. What a difference, with someone with real pace looking to get in behind and had the real impact on the game. So really looking forward to the fixtures next week.
01419511025, that's the number you need. Call us right now. Whatever is on your mind, let's get the thoughts into Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans. What about you? Nearly Christ. Missed the start of this show. 30 seconds. Skin of your teeth.
That's not late though, is it?
He was here.
For my own standards, I like to be early.
He was here at 2:30.
Yeah. In the morning. But
is there Renfrew Bridge?
You're not as bad as Marvin Bartley. I'm convinced he sits out in the car park, Marvin Bartley, until he hears the music.
So
then he comes.
Were you
in.
Undone by the fact that the Renfrew Bridge was closed?
Yeah,
as you
closed.
Tried to cross it, it's a bit of an issue, that, isn't it?
Well, I had said to you, hadn't I, a couple of weeks ago, I says, why do you not go there? And you says, you must have went on it once.
Told you.
Obviously, we're victim of the same thing I was tonight. So, or maybe need
got
to
your breath yet?
Yeah, I have. Good. So, still fit enough.
Good. Have to say, what about, did you see him on the telly last night doing his punditry for the Dundee United game?
Yeah.
You never told me you gave him a loan of your shirt to do it though.
Ah, there we go.
You don't like that?
I don't mind it, but he's got that shirt. I've seen that. You've got the white shirt with the granddad collar from the first time.
Yeah.
You don't call it a granddad collar, you just call it a collar.
Yeah.
But Scott Allen,
I think somebody said I had a shape. I love that.
Anyway, he was reflecting on the positive night for Scotland in Europe last night. So if you want to get involved in that, we'd love to do it. We don't get the chance too often. Hibs fans, Dundee United fans, neutral observers, supporters of the coefficient, what did you make of that? That was a great night, a great Thursday night. So we can definitely dedicate some time to that as well. As Hugh's already alluded to, it was this time last week Brendan Rodgers really went in on the transfer business and his contract and all the rest of it. A different approach this week. Calmer, confident, or hopeful I should say, that Celtic will get the business done. He says the club always does get it done by the end of the window. I wonder if you agree with that, and I wonder if you share his confidence there. Russell Martin, not really that bothered about the fact that the Rangers team was leaked during the week. Judging by social media though, lots of you were. So I wonder what you make of his approach. I wonder how you view these things. Do you see it as some sort of treachery, or do you understand where the manager's coming from?
He's wonder who it was.
He's basically got other things on his mind, is what he was trying to say. He's not overly bothered by it. So I wonder your thoughts on there. Generally, big weekend coming up, huge weekend as well. Yes, everyone's flying high from a Rangers persuasion after the Victoria Pilsen game, but it was only 6 days ago. It was Russell Martin that made explosive comments of his own about ego and self-preservation, and Rangers, for the third season in a row, failed to win their opening league fixture. Will that turn around against Dundee at home this weekend? There's a rerun of the Scottish Cup final, albeit this time at Pittodrie when Celtic go there. There is so much to get through. I noticed Jan Danda's just signed for Dundee, in fact, ahead of that game. Hibs have made another interesting signing. Hearts have added firepower. St Mirren have brought another couple in. So it's all happening. Give us a call right now, please. 01419511025.
Brendan Rodgers has a public face, and he put his public face on display for Sky Television this afternoon. But I would like to
speak privately to Brendan Rodgers to see what he thinks about it all, because he said no imminent signings, and he was terse, I thought. Polite, but terse. And the clock is ticking, and Celtic, no business done. You've rhymed off another succession of transfers that have taken place. It's been as busy a transfer window as I can ever recall, but it's dried up for Celtic.
Yeah, obviously they've brought in the centre-back from Man City, who I believe is a player who is going to impact the starting 11 in terms of how he plays and how he'll fit into Brendan Rodgers' system. There's no question. I think what he really feels is what he said last week, Hugh.
Yeah.
And now, I think, it's obviously you've seen the reaction to it, you need to maybe try and kill it off a bit and allow the players that he does have at his disposal at this moment in time to go out and improve himself.
As Gordon says, Pataudry, you know, it's only a matter of weeks since Aberdeen beat Celtic in the cup final.
I was really disappointed with Aberdeen Monday. I felt Yingy up front, obviously had a couple of chances, but...
I looked at it from the other way. I thought Hearts looked different class.
Nah, I think Aberdeen looked a poorer side on Monday than they did coming in the Scottish. And I didn't think they played particularly well in the cup final. They managed obviously to get over the line, but I would expect Celtic still to have too much for Aberdeen.
How good was last night? You had a keen eye because there was two of your former clubs as well involved.
Yeah, I think obviously Hibs going away. I'd seen them, Hibs away. I was about to start singing that song again. after seeing them against Mitchelland in the previous weeks, I think obviously as a player you take real confidence from that. But to go away there, yes, they went down to 10 men, but you still need to capitalise on that. Martin Boyle, obviously 101 goals now for Hibs. But again, and I said it last week, how good Kieran Bowie is and how big a player he's going to be in the league this year.
Away wins don't come easily in Europe.
No.
And it's 4 years since Hibs had an away win, and that was in Andorra. Scott Allen could pick a team from the Radio Clyde newsroom and include me, and we would beat a team in Andorra. But but to do it in Belgrade in front of a truly partisan crowd, that is some achievement. And Hibs could have had an even greater margin of victory, so it's a major feather in the cap of David Gray.
Yeah, any Hibs fans, Dundee United fans, or anyone that just watched on last night, we'd love to get your thoughts on those games. Let's kick off with Peter, who's on the line though. Hi Peter.
How are you doing, Gordon?
Good, how are you?
Not too bad. I was trying to go on during the week, but it's all mainly been Rangers fans, and I just couldn't really be bothered listening to them. So I was waiting for Hugh Keevans to come on, and who's what else on the panel?
Scott Allen,
because he's an ex-Celtic player, so he'll know what I'm talking about. I'm a wee bit angry and fed up with the Celtic model. And Brendan Rodgers came out a couple of weeks ago and came out and more or less gave a wee dig at the board. And the board, I feel as though the board are pulling on a different direction. The board want to maintain winning domestic games, winning in the league, but building for the European football. Arne Engels, I don't care what anybody says, he is not an 11 million player. Peter Lawwell has gave Brendan Rodgers 26 million in three players, Ida, Trusty, and again, Arne Engels. Trusty didn't even get a game. You've got Liam Scales there, who, honestly, that guy should be a joiner. He's not a football player. Then, when Trusty comes on, he wins every ball in his position. And then what's even more annoying, it was the watching deja vu for the last season, at the end of the game last season. It takes James Forrest, the most decorated football player, who's really about 64 years of age, to come on and lift the Celtic team. Is that all we've got? We haven't even replaced Nicholas Kuhn. You've got Yang, who does the same thing week in, week out. His feet's on fire. He doesn't know what to do with the ball. I feel as though Brendan Rodgers is going to be away from Celtic, if not before the end of the season. Celtic should commit with a bold statement by backing Brendan Rodgers, but at the same time, the board have backed him enough. And if I was Peter Lawwell, thinking about it, I'll give you 26 million, you bought three players. Either is not worth 9 million, let's be honest. He wasn't even worth 6.
Let's be honest with Peter Lawwell, first of all. Peter Lawwell has personally assured me that he has nothing whatsoever to do with transfers. Nothing at all. He may be the chairman of the club, but he has told me, and in no uncertain terms, that he has nothing to do with transfers. So you're looking at Michael Nicholson, who's the CEO, and all of those in the recruitment department. Now, you've run through your joke book about Anna Engels and Liam Scales.
Who was the joiner? I lost track.
Scales.
That's got to be harsh, Peter, yeah. Surely.
Definitely, it's not harsh. It's not harsh at all.
Well, it is harsh because Liam Scales is a professional footballer and has done reasonably well for Celtic, but he's not an automatic first pick for me. However, Liam Scales is there, Arne Engels is there, and I'm sure that Arne Engels will improve. But last week against St Mirren, there were worrying signs for Celtic because, as you rightly say, when all looked lost, on comes 34-year-old James Forrest. Absolutely. And Johnny Kenny. Now, in the cup final against Aberdeen, they finished up with Yang and Johnny Kenny up front.
Got a new contract today, incidentally, yeah. Johnny Kenny.
But Celtic need quality players. Celtic have a Champions League playoff round to play. It may be against Slovan Bratislava. No assumptions can be made. And I repeat, Brendan Rodgers has a public face, but I'd like to speak to the private Brendan Rodgers, because he cannot be happy with this transfer window.
I don't think you have to allege that there's a different feeling behind closed doors, Scott. You probably just have to go back to his interview last week.
Yeah,
you know, I think that probably quite telling. Again, that doesn't totally contradict what he's saying today. It just means it's a different tone. He's saying that, you know, he thinks it will get it done, and look, we only have to wait a couple of weeks to find out. That's the beauty of it. And then you revisit it at that point. But I think, well, clearly Peter's not impressed.
No, I think, listen, we obviously touched on the interview last week. That's his true feeling in that moment. I think the fact that Celtic have a qualifier, not automatic, into the league phase, that does play a part in terms of fans expecting players to be in the building. And I totally get that. It's the same for a manager, because you want your players to get used to the system and obviously the new players and settle into a new city. But ultimately, there's still, I think, two, 3 weeks left. I think Celtic will get business done. There's no question of that. I think to add to that, the performance on Sunday intensifies it a bit, because it was, I don't think there's any getting away from it, it was flat from a Celtic perspective, kind of in and out of possession. And as Peter rightly said, it was James Forrest was the guy that started,
Scott,
getting fans off the seat.
Here's the other thing. Before the deadlock is broken and Celtic bring in other players, there is potential damage to be done in the meantime. Now, Aberdeen away, they've got the Champions League qualifier, and to my way of thinking, they are not preparing properly.
It's just, I suppose, though, it's part of the challenge at this time of the season, isn't it? Just to use Rangers as an example, because by and large, they've been lauded for by their fans by the amount of business they've done. But in the first couple of weeks, you might need to ride something out. Antman wasn't in yet. They go to Motherwell without him. They drop points already. You just, every club, to varying degrees, granted, just has to try and negotiate their way through this. I thought where Hugh was going with that point was, I think the Champions League qualifier surely changes things, because what is your date then? Is it all about being satisfied by the end of the window, or is it about making sure you're prepared for that game? Because those things happen at different times.
I would fully expect Celtic it would be that game, obviously. Yeah. Purely based on the fact that Brendan Rodgers in the interviews last year spoke about doing well in Europe, that was progress for him. You would fully expect that would be the same with Michael Nicholson and co. But listen, there is still time to get work done. I think you look at Rangers, and obviously the impact Ant-Man had, I think only trained with the team for maybe 1 or 2 days, and it still shows you the impact a player can have. So I think when you do look across to the other side of the city and you see that sort of impact, you want it for your own team. It is an area that the part that I think Celtic have to strengthen, as well as a striker.
Can you imagine,
just quickly, I want to throw it back to Peter before the break. Peter, lots of our callers this week come on and sort of say the club needs to do more or the board need to do more, but you seem to be not very happy with Brendan Rodgers' part in all this. Is that?
I'm not really angry at Brendan Rodgers. Brendan Rodgers made a bold statement, redigging the board, about more or less trying to build. Brendan Rodgers wants to build Celtic into a kind of forcible in Europe. When you look at it across the city, right, Rangers have been to 2 European finals. When they came back for the lower leagues, they've been to 2 European finals. And whatever, if it's Europa League or whatever, the conference, whatever it may be, they've still been in 2 European finals. He is a man, as you say, is signing the players, but yet he's not playing them. He bought 2 defenders, Navroski and Lagabielka, and they're no longer at the club.
Brendan Rodgers didn't buy them.
Well, who did then?
The recruitment department gave them to Brendan Rodgers.
It has to be a team effort, doesn't it, all round? You know, but he didn't not pick them either. Do you know what I mean? You
I can't. Brendan Rodgers looked at the two of them and thought, they won't do for me.
No, he must have sanctioned their signings.
When they have signings, they'll have different options and whoever most agree on.
Brendan Rodgers has said he gets the final say on the players that come in. Yeah,
players don't come in and the manager doesn't have no clue who they are. That's
anyway, let's hear what Brendan Rodgers did have to say on transfers today.
There's no news, no. I've got nothing new for you, no. It's very clear what we need to improve and a lot of work going on, clearly. So yeah, we're hoping that we can conclude some deals and improve the squad. I think the board have shown over many years, numbers of years, that the work will get done. And obviously as a group that run the club and have run it so well for so many years, they have to get what they will feel is the best value for the players. Of course, as coaches and managers and supporters, you want the best players, but ultimately the club will be run in a way that makes sure that both the best players and the best value is there to be made.
The board have shown over a number of years they'll get the job done. Do you agree with that sentiment? Let us know right now, or anything else you've got for us. We'll hear from Russell Martin in the not too distant future as well, but give us a call.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Let's go back to the phones where Sean awaits us. Hi Sean.
Hi Gordon.
How's it going, Sean? You alright?
Yeah, I'm okay. Just listening to the previous caller, obviously, on how Brendan Rodgers is sending out mixed messages this month for us fans. For the past 16 months, he told us that the squad needed quality. It need experienced players to help us progress. So the fans are of the understanding of that's the manager's idea. We know the idea, the board's idea is obviously bring in a few gems and then sell them off. And then obviously that's good for the club as a whole. So we're the most successful club in Scotland. Everything's going in the right direction. But I'm just worried, is the manager trying to throw a wee curveball, or is the squad that bad that we have to, I don't know, give it up for a season? Or
did you see the St Mirren game last weekend?
Yeah, did you?
What was your interpretation then?
That we need players. We do need quality players. That is the understanding. That's what the manager's asked for.
Yeah.
So what? Why are we still waiting, Hugh? Like, what's the problem? If he's identifying players, if the board are happy with the structure, if we're supposed to have this recruitment team that works because we buy a gem and then we sell them off, like, what's the story?
The buying of gems and selling them on is Celtic's model, and they are very, very successful at it. The problem I have at the moment is that Brendan Rodgers has made it abundantly clear that he needs players, and that you, with the evidence of your own eyes, you don't need me, you don't need Brendan Rodgers, you just need to look back at last weekend's game against St Mirren, which was torture, and the cup final.
Do you not think he would take a wider view on it? Like, a really, really good version of Celtic, tooled up to the max, might struggle a little bit on any given 90 minutes against a well-organised St Mirren.
And they will.
It's not a really, really good Celtic up to the max, because
I know that's why I said, if I'm talking about this notion that the 90 minutes against St Mirren is all the proof you need, I feel like clubs probably need more evidence than that. I think if your whole transfer strategy comes down to 90 minutes against St Mirren,
it was symptomatic.
That's the second best midfield in the country.
Yeah, I don't care. It was symptomatic of, and the glaring omission is the lack of proper forwards. They're still dealing in Yang and Ida. Daizen Maeda, his contribution to Celtic is undeniable and will continue to be a terrific contribution. But it's glaringly obvious that Adam Ida can't be an automatic first pick, and neither can Yang. And that is where Celtic need to get their finger out. It's just abundantly clear.
I mean, Sean, he was asked today, I think that's the bit that the Celtic fans are getting to. They want to know specifically why. And he was asked that in a few different ways. I listened to the full press conference driving in. I think, though, is that part of the problem? Because there is no one reason. It's not like Brendan Rodgers is just saying we're not offering enough money or we're not identifying the players. It's bound to be a little combination of everything, isn't it?
I know, but then players like Scales, who's performed way over the top of what anybody thought he could be for Celtic. He's won Champions League Man of the Match awards, and yet he's still the same guy that, oh, well, he shouldn't be in the team because he's Liam Scales. As a fan, I'm happy that Liam Scales has progressed over, what, three seasons of first-team football. But he shouldn't be taking the flak for the board not bringing in a replacement or the forward line not being good enough. Or there's definite problems, but the biggest problem is the division between what the fans know, what the manager's sending as a message, and then what the board are doing.
The manager can't, you know, really, in fairness to Brendan Rodgers, he can't really be any more explicit than to say, if you want someone to maintain the squad, then I am not your man. It'll need to be someone else. That's what he said a week ago today. He cannot be any more explicit than that.
We understand that part from him. But why is he even putting that? Brendan Rodgers is a very intelligent guy. He knows he's already been through the first time. But we're on this third season cycle and we're getting that at a press conference. But why? Why you?
Because he's trying. He's trying to put pressure on the people who bring in people at Celtic. And I think, honestly, we should all agree is the best policy. When Russell Martin thought Rangers were hopeless against Motherwell, he came out and said it, ripped him apart. So Brendan Rodgers is reminding everyone, particularly the Celtic support, that he knows the squad is light. He knows the areas where the squad is light. He also said on television, it's arithmetic. I'm short of players. So he cannot be any more explicit. And yet, another week goes by and there's not so much as a name in the frame.
Made a signing since last week.
Yeah, a teenager from Manchester City who
is
on loan.
We can't just keep moving the goalpost to suit the narrative. I agree with you. I thought they would do more business than they have by now, but we can't say there's not even been a name since last week. And you say, no, there has been a signing. You say, ah, he's just a teenager on loan from Man City.
That, with no option to buy because...
Yeah, it might be very good though.
Yeah, of course. But the glaring omission is up front. They struggled and they got lucky with a deflected goal from Luke McCowan.
In terms of the money that you would expect them to spend on a striker to come in and be really good, and at the same time there isn't a lot about where you can get for the type of money you would imagine Celtic want to spend on a striker. I think you can tell that in his interview that we heard today when he talks about, the one thing he did mention was the club getting value. So what does that look like? That means the transfer fee and the wages all combined. Probably half an eye on probably overspending on Ida and Arne Engels last year, so you can kind of see how we dropped that in today.
And they're drifting towards the same mistake. Adam Ida was signed in a fit of panic, and they paid so far over the odds for him, it's not funny. But meanwhile, Rangers can bring in Gassama, they can bring in Atman, and they look two outstanding football players.
In fairness, the Rangers really had to, didn't they? You know, they're starting more from scratch, if you like. You know, Celtic are trying to sort of fine tune what's already successful, whereas Rangers is the house has been ripped down and you can you're trying to rebuild everything.
I appreciate that, but if the transfer window closed tomorrow and Celtic had not added players up front ahead of Yang and Ida, then Celtic would be in a poor position.
But that's, to be fair, it doesn't close tomorrow, and that's what Brendan Rodgers is saying today, Sean. He's confident, or hopeful, I think was the word, that the club will get it done because they always do by the end of the window. Is that something you'd agree with?
If you look at past experiences, we always make sure that we do bring in the quality. Obviously, last season, Ida, Engels, even Bernardo, a lot of people don't talk about Bernardo. He's brought in and he's not even made into contribution pre-season and stuff. You're like, the ideas at the club are just a bit confusing. And I don't know if that's come from the manager, for the board, but as a fan, you want to see the best on the park for the product. And I just don't think we're at that stage, do you?
Let's bring in, well, thanks Sean, first of all, for his time, and go just along the road to Paisley. Bring in Jamie. How's it going, Jamie?
All right, guys, so he's doing.
Not bad, you.
Enjoy it.
Ah, not bad. Right, see all these so-called Celtic supporters that are coming on, right, slagging Celtic. Right, we won a game. We won our opening game on Sunday, right, against a very good defending St Mirren team. I know we were weakened. We are weakened, I know that. But Celtic are the same every season. They don't get the badges they stand early. It's more the later stages the business comes in. And it's the same every season, and it's the same with your fans keep coming on and moaning about it and moaning, blaming this one, blaming that one. Just sit back, relax, and it'll happen. We're still winning games.
If you sit back and relax, it won't happen. You have to move forward in football. And you immediately call your fellow Celtic fans so-called supporters. If they dare to give themselves the luxury of exercising some form of critical analysis where the team is concerned. You regard any criticism of Celtic as a heresy, but fans are entitled to look, and the areas of the team where Celtic are short are glaringly obvious, and they were glaringly obvious against St Mirren at home last Sunday. And there are bigger games to come, and Celtic, if you don't think Celtic are too forward short, then you're not paying attention.
I'm not saying that. But did we win our opening game last week?
Just.
That can happen, as we said. What is the barometer then? So if Celtic don't win 3-4-0, then everything's...
No. But I look at the performance and I'm comparing Celtic with Celtic. When I said they were poor last Sunday on the show, Marvin Bartley said, poor. And I said, poor by their own standards.
I know, but what I'm saying is, I think this is the problem when we do it short term. Because I think overall, I don't think your point is wrong. Clearly we're talking about the number, but it's when we try and show that working. The season before last, a good version of Celtic, would you agree? A tooled up version, yep, with all the attacking players you wanted. They beat St Mirren 3-2. They also beat St Mirren 2-1. The season before that, they drew with St Mirren 2 each. You know, I think when you just view that one game, which they came out on top in, as the absolute proof that the squad needs updated, I think it has to be a bit more of a body of work.
Kyogo left in January.
Again, that stuff's all valid. Way more valid than happened against St Mirren.
And 8 months later, he is yet to be replaced. And by the time Celtic get to the cup final, Celtic were awful in the cup final. Aberdeen were awful in the cup final. It was an awful cup final. And Celtic had that day the chance to win a treble, and Brendan Rodgers had history in his hands, being the first Celtic manager to win 3 trebles. But they were awful. And you could start to pick holes in his squad at that particular point, and you can still do it now.
Do you think, you're saying two strikers for Celtic, you think?
I think they need a wide man, other than Yang, that's for sure. And Adam Ida, for me, is not a first pick for Celtic.
So Adam Ida,
I think they're more likely
Johnny
to sign wingers, and then
Yamada
becomes
bench.
More of the...
Johnny Kenny is not ready option. To play week in, week out for Celtic. He's just not.
I just think, wingers are, for me, really important. I think, obviously, having that creative impact that obviously James Forrest had, and that was just purely down to his experience and his directness with the ball. You can't rely on that throughout the course of a season. I think Celtic have got to get players in the areas, but for me, a number 9 who's going to come in and hit the ground running is essential.
Thank you very much to Jamie on the line. Russell Martin had some interesting things to say today, and there was a lot of anger out there on social media when the team was leaked on Tuesday. I noticed he's actually not that bothered by the sounds of it. What do you make of that? Give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here, 0141 951 1025. Someone's been in touch with me, Scott, apparently to say that things you never knew existed. To say, Laura says that you need to get on the WhatsApp group that tells you when the Renfrew Bridge is closed. Now you'll know to
how many people's in the WhatsApp group.
I must admit, I'm on some really bad, annoying WhatsApp groups. I don't know if I'd be signing up for that, but I suppose good information. You would have made it. I'm assuming people don't talk to each other on it.
No, it's like just
information.
An update.
Surely everyone's not saying, what are your thoughts on the bridge today?
Well, let's hope she can message back in and tell us.
Join it right now.
What's it called?
I don't know. Renfrew Bridge updates. Unsurprisingly, Bridge update, there you go. You'll make it in time for the show next time. Stuart,
I did make it in time.
Lucky for you, I'd say Gary Spence ran over, which gave you a real out. Stuart's on the line. How are you, Stuart?
Great. Thanks for taking my call.
What are you thinking?
Last season, I watched the same player, Alex Coggage, and I've watched him here again, and his work rate's phenomenal. I don't know how Rangers or Celtic have not went for him. I don't know if he's signed a new contract or not, but if I was a Rangers manager, I'd be going for him, because his work rate against Celtic was I think he's a better team. He should be a better team than he has now.
I doubt it's a contractual issue. You were saying nah before that point was even finished.
No, I played well. I'm an absolutely brilliant guy, and I think in terms of what you see in that St Mirren team and how they're set up to play, he gives you all of that, and that's aggression, energy. But I think to then go and ask him to do certain things that you would be asked to do in a Rangers and Celtic team is completely different. I think sometimes players just find a good fit at a club, and I think Alex Coggage and St Mirren at this moment in time is perfect.
Into the bargain. Rangers have spent millions on defenders since Russell Martin got there, and Celtic have brought in Jamai from Manchester City, clearly with the intention of playing him. Carter Vickers is there.
Does play that kind of midfield role, doesn't he? But even at that, Stuart, is that not the point that his, and by the way, he has done excellent in those games, as you say, but sort of putting out fires against Celtic and against Rangers and throwing your body in front of the ball and all that stuff, which he does brilliantly, it's just a very different task, is it not, if you're on the other side of it?
Well, I watched the Celtic game last week, and he was just all in that park. I mean, I don't know when he gets his energy. So, I mean, even last season, he was the same player. I mean, he's never changed the way he plays, but I think he's been a better club. And I'm not saying about St Mirren, because he must love St Mirren that much that he wants to stay. But if somebody came in with a big bid, maybe it could change his mind. You don't know.
I think that's the point. I'm trying not to be rude. I'm saying I just don't know if anyone is going to come in with a big bid, certainly from Glasgow.
Everyone has their personal likes, and Stuart clearly thinks the world of Coggage, but he's at the level where he should be, and he's not climbing higher.
Stuart, how are you feeling otherwise about Rangers at the moment? 6 days ago, it's another game where the season's not got off to a winning start, and Russell Martin's calling players out, and there's a real rage around. And then a couple of days later, things are feeling a bit better. How are you feeling now?
I'm feeling brilliant. I would like to thank the person that leaked the team, because whoever leaked the team has made the manager even angrier. And look at the following game. Whoever leaked the team has made a big mistake. I will never find out. We could possibly, but
well, he's not. He's actually though. He's not angry at all. Let's hear from Russell Martin on the leak of that team on Tuesday night. I can see the producers are scrambling. This is the behind the scenes. They're scrambling to find it. It's already there. Don't worry, I can tell you. I can see it right there. It's just black. It's not blue. There we go. Press that one.
I can't really control any of that. So I think it's become a bit more common in the modern game. I don't think anyone would do it from inside this building to intentionally hurt us. And also, like, I've always named a team really early when I've been a coach or manager, because then people don't waste energy and time wondering if they're in a team. We can actually work on certain things. The guys who are not playing can get extra work in. But it's the modern game. People are left out. They tell agents, they tell their friends and family. Then somehow it gets to you guys very quickly. But again, I choose to trust that no one does it to try and hurt us intentionally, so I can't really control anything else. I've said to the guys, it's not ideal, but also I'm not going to lose sleep over it, and it is what it is. But I'm not sure it changes the opposition's plan, finding out about the team 8 hours before. They've done pretty much all of their work, I presume. So, it is what it is.
Just a personal thing, Hugh. I just really like that, because it's never something that I could possibly care about, because I think the things he says, it's not like the other team go, oh, quick, right, see everything, right, Raskin's not playing, right, this is great, we've got this amazing advantage. I mean, rugby, they actually named the team publicly 2 days before the game. Yeah. I mean, but that's just my own personal opinion, because on Twitter this week I saw, you know, there's a rat, so, you know, somebody needs to lose their job over this, you know, all that sort of stuff. And Russell Martin, of all people, just saying,
It's usually the security guard that gets the blame.
I've got bigger issues than this.
I thought Russell Martin explained the modern world very well to people who don't understand the modern world. Now, I would include myself among that group. But even I understand that if you tell more than one person, it's not a secret anymore. So if you tell a player he's out, and that player, as Russell Martin rightly said, phones his wife or phones his agent or phones both, then eventually it travels like wildfire. So he's not bothered. Barry Ferguson said it happened to him last season when he was interim manager. First game against Kilmarnock at Rugby Park. They knew his team as soon as he picked it. Big deal.
I think, look, obviously there are times, Scott, like if you are sort of revealing that a star player is out, you know, something that you're trying to keep under wraps deliberately, or, you know, somebody was touch and go or whatever. But just these general run-of-the-mill ones. And as he says, like, circumstances are important here, because I think what the perception is, or the accusation is on Tuesday, is that Nicholas Raskin's taken the huff because he's known the team, so he's now telling everybody. James Tavernier's thrown his toys out the pram, so he's trying to undermine the full operation, when actually, as Russell Martin says, somebody's just mentioned to their agent, oh, a couple of changes tonight and he's playing. He's told his mate, he's stuck it in a WhatsApp group, it gets put on Twitter, the world goes on.
Yeah, I don't think it's as deep as how Russell Martin's explained that has pretty much nailed it for me. I think that's...
But not all managers feel that way, to be fair, do they?
The only thing I will say, I think down the line, in terms of certain personnel, if you did see that, you can usually assume what the formation is going to be. The only thing that can affect how another team would play would be the change of shape, if Rangers change the shape, and that maybe down the line in a big game could carry some weight. So that would be the only concern. But I think with the players, I think after you heard the interview on Sunday, it was... He had to change the players. He had to make changes. No question about it.
It's also a question of priorities, Hugh. I think forgive me, I can't remember if it was in that clip, but he was asked again. I think there was maybe a feeling in the room. A feeling in the room amongst the fellow journalists that they maybe thought he would, go big on it. Or, you know, and he was asked again later on, and he can admit, look, it's not ideal.
Everybody,
but like, right now, he's got just way more important things to worry about than that.
Everybody loves stories about subterfuge. Who did it? Who's the mole? Who's the Ibrox mole? And the manager, or head coach, to give him his title, couldn't care less.
You've been part of dressing rooms where it was ever mentioned?
No.
Complained about? No.
Never.
Because you do hear it. Like I say, that's just Russell Martin's personal take on it, which is fine, because I know some managers do feel quite strongly about it, don't they?
Yeah, like I said, I think it would only be with certain personnel you would know if a team was changing their shape, and that would maybe affect how you obviously went about your business come the Saturday. But I think Russell Martin got it absolutely spot on there.
I want them to explain to me why he didn't win 3-0 as I forecast.
When?
At Motherwell.
Oh, right. Oh, I think you'll find you said 4-0.
No, 3.
Was it?
3.
Is that better, is it?
I've had a man from Aberdeen who sent me this today. The recipe for making mistakes: 3 measures of error and 2 of failure, 1 glitch and a slice of doubt. Mix thoroughly, serve immediately.
That's you, folks. That's you in a nutshell.
And here you are.
I can't believe you've not signed that, sent it back.
Jordan's on the other line. How are you, Jordan?
Evening, gents. Evening, Scott. Evening, Hugh.
Hello. Evening, Jordan.
What's your point tonight?
So I was on the weekend of the team. I've just actually joined listening, so I don't know if anyone's made these points yet, but I heard Barry Ferguson speaking on a podcast last night, and he said that this happened to him last year. There's maybe a mole in the camp. Now, if this happened last year, that would count out to me, Dowell, as not being one of the people that leaked the team. To me, it screams that it's either Raskin or Tav, and I believe that maybe over the next few weeks, Russell Martin and his team are going to play a couple of tricks to see if they can find out who it is.
Jordan, did you hear the clip we just played of Russell Martin? Are we not on at that point?
Yeah. No, I heard him earlier on, actually, when you were on Sky Sports, Gordon. So I heard his press conference then, and I know he says he's not going to lose sleep about it, but he definitely is. This is going to annoy him. You can't be going into Europe in these games and your team being leaked.
Would he say it's not annoying him? If it is annoying them, that's just not one that you need
to lure the players into a false sense of security. To think, oh no, it's not annoying them, he's not bothered.
All right, so he's now going to launch like a secret campaign to find out who it was.
Jordan, do you realise, Jordan, how unfair it is that you come on and criticise the character of 2 professional football players? You've just made an accusation that it could have been either Tavernier or Raskin. You have absolutely no proof of anything, but you feel empowered.
Hugh, the team was leaked last year, and the manager from last year said his team was leaked before the manager he was playing against. He knew the team before he'd left Ibrox. So it happened last year.
Yeah, but you've named two players tonight. You've named two players, and you have not an ounce of proof.
But there's two there's four players I would say in question about this. He's questioned their how much you want to be at the club. He's made comments in the past few weeks. He's not happy about certain people's attitude. Then this happens.
Jordan, but you see, this happens. You have honestly put two and two together there and come up with any number you like. I'm going to just pick a random person, right? Conor Barron says to his agent, you playing? You starting the European game? Nah. Oh, how know? What's he going with? He's changed the midfield a bit, actually. Raskin's out and Lyle Cameron's going to start. And he's, who else is playing? X, Y, and Z. Lyle Cameron's agent mentions it to someone. They stick it on Conor Barron's agent. And again, I'm making this up. Tells his pal puts it on WhatsApp. How do you know that's not what's happened here?
That, Gordon, you could be right.
I know.
I am speculating. I am just saying what I believe, what I think has happened. That's, I'm not saying this is what has happened. I believe this is what, we're all allowed our own opinion.
What do you specifically think either the two players who you've obviously suggested have done?
I think that either one of these players have gone to their agent and they've asked them for this to be leaked, because they are not happy at what's happening.
You're
now.
You're making allegations that you cannot substantiate.
He's just, to be fair, he did say that's just his opinion.
You're going beyond opinion now. You're straying into an area where you're making allegations about two professional players that you cannot substantiate.
It's quite a leap, Jordan, surely. Because Russell Martin says that, so do you not take him at face value? He sat there today at length and explained that he says he doesn't think it's been done maliciously, but you do. So is Russell Martin lying there, or?
Gordon, he's not going to turn around on Sky Sports and say, oh yeah, this is really annoying me.
Of course he is. Managers do it all the time.
The honesty that he showed on Saturday night in terms of calling people out in terms of performance, so that's all we can keep. We need to take about the face value we've seen him at.
Why would he not, Jordan? He very easily could have said, yeah, do you know what, I'm not impressed with that. I'd like things to stay in the four walls, and I'm going to, do you know what, I'm going to take a wee look and try and get to the bottom of it. He could have said that easily.
Well, this is my opinion, and Hugh, you've accused many of people of many things over the time, right? So please don't have a go at me for having my own opinion and my own view.
But you're going beyond opinion.
I'm not going. I'm giving my opinion and what I think has happened. So I'm allowed my own opinion, Hugh. Come on.
You're going beyond opinion.
Right, we're going round in circles. Any chance? Right, quickly, Jordan. We're a couple of minutes away from. Yeah. I'll turn Hugh's mic off so you can finish.
I believe these two players done it is because their nose has been put out of joint. Now it's been said that Raskin has been at the manager's office a few times.
Who said that?
Questioning his play. One of the players on a podcast. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you to Jordan. It's time for us to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Remember the time I leaked the answers to Beat the Pundit and Gordon DL still lost? Anyway, it's your chance to play tonight. What a way to end a week. Never a dull day. 01419511025. Lines close at 7.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. It's 01419511025. We kicked off, as we often do at the moment, talking about Celtic's recruitment. We heard from Brendan Rodgers. A good healthy debate on that. Then an even healthier debate on whether it is wise or not to leak a team. Russell Martin doesn't seem too bothered, but my word, Jordan and Fife was, yeah. He had some theories on that topic. So get them in if you want. And we're going to look back at a great night for Scotland in Europe last night as well. Dundee United and Hibs, that's coming up. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are standing by. We had a debutant on Beat the Pundit last night.
Maisie.
Stephen Naismith, yeah. Played one, won one. So can only go downhill from here.
In a week in which the Hannah Man loses.
I know, incredible.
Did that actually happen?
Oh, the nation's been rocked.
Was it close?
We brought him back to -1 rather than his -2 last season, and it killed him.
Yeah,
he's been done. Anyway, Johnny's in Castle Milk. How are you, Johnny?
I'm no bad, pal. Yourself?
Yeah, good. Have you ever played before?
No, first time.
Good, I like it. What we probably should have warned you about when you come on. Now, don't be scared off by this, because it's not as intimidating as it sounds, but the questions tonight are all Oasis themed.
Oh.
Now really they're just football questions, but there's always just a nice little nod to Oasis in there, given that it's the big weekend and they're playing in Edinburgh and everybody seems to be involved apart from us three.
Yeah.
Would you go along to that
tonight?
Would you? Did you?
Oh, I'd love.
Hold on, what, as in you gave him up to be with him?
No, yeah. We've got Elgin at 8 o'clock. I need to leave tomorrow.
That's even worse.
So. All I'm saying to you is watch out this weekend and you'll find someone in an Oasis jacket and a bucket hat.
If you've been dressed up?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Well, funnily enough, actually, whichever one of you lands on the coin tonight is going to wear a bucket hat during right. Beat the Pundit, just to commemorate it. So, Johnny, if it is the blue side of my new Beat the Pundit coin, it will be Hugh Keevans. If it's the red side, it will be Scott Allen. And it is blue for Hugh. There we go. Get the bucket hat on, please. Look at that. That is what a sight that.
Let me
what
fix
a
for you
sight
here.
That is. Outstanding. Right, let's give Hugh something else to listen to. Probably an Oasis song over there. Johnny, you've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
No ball, pal.
Right, good man. You've got 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which Oasis song have Rangers fans adopted to sing about Danilo?
Oh, pass.
Which Liam currently plays for St Mirren after spells at Motherwell and Kilmarnock?
Liam.
True or false, Noel Gallagher was at Celtic's 6-2 win over Rangers in 2000?
True.
Liam and Noel support which English team?
Manchester City.
Who won the Scottish Top Flight in the year Definitely Maybe was released in 1994? Okay. Let's bring Hugh Keevans back. Can you hear us?
I would just like to point out that the message on this bucket hat is an opinion and not an allegation.
George Bowie is a dafty, it
yes.
says.
My good friend George Bowie.
Producer John's obsession with Oasis is really quite something. Like
yeah.
the effort he's put into making Beat the Pundit about Oasis tonight is quite something. But anyway, you ready?
I am.
Your time starts now. Which Oasis song have Rangers fans adopted to sing about Danilo?
Wonderwall.
Which Liam currently plays for St Mirren after spells at Motherwell and Kilmarnock?
Pass.
True or false, Noel Gallagher was at Celtic's 6-2 win over Rangers in 2000?
He was, I interviewed him.
Liam and Noel support which English team?
Man City.
Who won the Scottish Top Flight in the year that Definitely Maybe was released in 1994?
Rangers.
Which Gallagher plays now for Ross County? Oh. Three, two, one.
Kevin.
Ah! superb. What do you think, Johnny? You've been thrown under the bus a bit there. You thought you were come on for a normal Beat the Pundit, and producer John goes and does that to you. Do you think you got a couple on the board?
These things happen, but I'm not too sure.
Right, let's go through them and find out the damage. Apparently, Rangers fans sing to the tune of She's Electric about Danilo. No, so no. Producer John says. The Liam that currently plays for St Mirren after spells at Motherwell and Kilmarnock?
Donnelly.
Liam Donnelly. None of you got it right. True or false, Noel Gallagher was at Celtic 6-2 win against Rangers in 2000. Well, of course he was, Hugh. You said you interviewed him.
I did.
Whereabouts? In the stand?
No, at the mouth of the tunnel. I was asked if I would like to interview a celebrity, and the Celtic press officer went up the tunnel and down came Noel Gallagher. I almost dropped.
You're more of a Van Morrison man.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do understand modern culture, and I did understand that I was speaking to someone who was absolute top of the pile.
There you go. Liam and Noel support Man City. Everyone knows that. 94, the champions were Rangers. So it's 3-3. You had the chance to win it, Hugh, but you passed up on this one. Which Gallagher plays for Ross County? Declan Gallagher. So there we go. It means we go to the tiebreaker. The aim of the game here, I'll read the question, I'll get you to write his answer down, Johnny, then I'll invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
No bother.
Right, it's just a closest two. Let's do it. The question is this: how many appearances did Paul Dickov make for Man City? It's a very specific question. Write it down, please, Hugh. How many appearances did Paul Dickov make for Man City? What are you going for, Johnny?
38.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, come on.
Oh, do you know what the worst of this is? It's pretty close. Just under the pressure, I'm not going to be able to count this up. Now my palms are sweating because you're both close. As in, one's miles away in one direction, one's miles away in the other. Get your calculator out. Nah, should be able to figure this out. I'm not that bad. The answer's 158. A mathematician, tell me who's closer. I think
270 take away 158.
Well, I know what the difference is there. What did you say again? 270?
270, yeah.
My goodness, this is a nightmare. Sunday, it's just
what
the
is
pressure
it, 158?
158. He said 38, you said 270.
Right, it's I'm 112 short.
Oh, my goodness, that's so bad. And he's 120 out, isn't he? So there we go. So Hugh just about wins.
There you are.
That's awful. Awful, awful counting. Johnny, hard lines.
Oh, these things happen, mate. Yeah, I'll be back. Don't worry.
You'll be back, Johnny. Stronger than ever. Good, good man. I was kind of hoping that one of them would just get a bit closer to make it easier for me.
How can you win by being 112 out?
I know, it's terrible.
But there you are.
You can,
Hugh. Yeah, take that
I've
bucket
just, I've just
now.
Done it.
Right, good, brilliant. Right, let's look back on last night's European action. Keep your calls coming in on any of the other topics if they've tickled you so far. 01419511025. We could toss the coin to see where we start because we've got fans of both on the line. Let's give a, as they were both brilliant results, let's give a nod to the team that won theirs. That's the only way I can separate it right now. Let's go to Liam, who's on from the Hibs Ramble. How are you, Liam?
I'm not bad, Gordon. How are you, mate?
Brilliant. Not as good as you, I can't imagine, because just how good was that last night? A 2-0 win away, Partizan Belgrade.
A superb win, to be honest. We don't really get an awful lot of wins away from home in Europe, so when they come around, you've got to savour them. But you know, not only a win, but it's a really good performance and a great result to hopefully go through in the tie.
Liam, I'm going to show off now. Where was Hibs' last away win and who's it against in Europe?
Well, I was watching earlier on, Hugh, so I can.
You already told us your stat earlier on.
I didn't name the team.
Okay, go on then.
It was Santa Coloma, I think.
Well done, Liam.
He's a Hibs man. He's got them all listed off. Liam, I feel like in the last few nights, I didn't mean to diminish what Hibs were facing, but I was pointing out, you know, that maybe Partizan Belgrade, that like the name sounds intimidating and the atmosphere would be, but they've not had like a brilliant time of it recently. But it's still, everything taken into account, it's just such a great result to go away there and come back with the not only the win but a 2-0 victory as well. Yes, aided by the red card, but it just puts you in such a strong position, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, when the draw get made and you're looking at Partizan Belgrade, exactly like you said there, you're kind of worrying a wee bit because of the stature of the club. But you know, they're nothing compared to what they were, you know, a long time ago when they were in the European Cup final and stuff. But you know, it's still a difficult place to go. There was like 30,000 home fans or something there last night. And I was watching it on the telly and it looked super scary. And a couple of my pals were there and they were saying it was incredibly loud and nothing like they've ever seen or heard anywhere else. So, you know, full credit to the players for going over there and being able to handle that sort of atmosphere. Even if the team that they were playing wasn't as good as us, it's, you still need to beat what's in front of you, and we did.
Has anyone checked if Martin Boyle did indeed make it out alive? Did you see that clip of him? Not see it? So he cupped his ears, didn't he, to the fans, yeah. And they're quite scary, as Liam alluded to. And there's a clip of him when he's like walking off the pitch, and he said, "I'm not making it out here alive."
I've not so seen that.
I think he's fine. I've not heard otherwise. But Scott, you'll know him. What a contribution!
Yeah, listen, I think, obviously, when you get older, everybody starts to question, are you the same player? I think the fact that Martin Boyle last year probably gave his best return in terms of goals and assists for Hibs, and then he's continued in the same fashion as the season started here. Like, listen, this, I wasn't surprised by the Hibs' performance last night. As I said, I've seen so much in terms of in and out of possession against Midtjylland that I felt really confident that this team could go and produce a result. Would I expected a 2-0? Probably not. Maybe a 1-0 or a draw to take back to Easter Road. But to go over there, obviously, get a clean sheet, a large part of that is down to the fact they've got a bit of consistency in the team selection at the back with the three defenders and the goalkeeper. But to have Martin Boyle and Kieran Bowie up front, I just think it's going to cause teams all sorts of problems here domestically as well.
Begging Liam's pardon by mentioning the other lot, I think the city of Edinburgh is going to be different class this season because you've got a really, really good Hibs, the best Hibs team in a long while. and a really, really good Hearts.
Since when, Hugh?
Since when?
Well, since they beat Rangers in the cup final.
Liam, how high are your hopes for Kieran Bowie this season?
I said it the last time I was on here. He's excellent. He's so good, and he just keeps showing game by game like what his strengths are. Like, he just completely ragdolls defenders, and no one's really got a chance against him. And he's the perfect striker, really, for Scottish football. For our game, he's the perfect striker. And having Martin Boyle like running off him, and we've got Cuidi on the bench, who's, I think, a similar mould to Martin Boyle, I think he's going to be really, really good this season. But we'll be very lucky to keep a hold of him after next summer.
How confident are you then? A 2-0 win's a brilliant result. It's very much stacked in Hibs' favour. Obviously, you're at home next. How confident are you of progressing? Still got that little niggling doubt that anything's possible?
Well, Gordon, I'm a Hibs fan. So,
that's true.
Naturally, there's a little bit of doubt. But, I mean, 2-0 is a great... It's a really, really good result to take back. But it's by in no way game over. So, and we'll need to be on top form. And I'm absolutely sure that David Gray will be reminding the players that it's half-time in the tie. It's only 2-0. They looked half-decent last night until they got their man sent off, and we kind of started to dominate after that. So,
did you think there was much between them and Mitchelland?
I think Mitchelland is different class. Like, I was over in Denmark and I watched that, and they were really, really good. I felt like we had a little bit more of the ball, Scott, last night. Yeah. And we were able to kind of impose our game a little bit more on them, rather than being able to just deal with Mitchelland and then try and hit them on the counter. But, you know, in terms of quality, I think it's night and day. But they're still a really good side.
Yeah.
And they'll be able to do us a bit of damage at Easter Road if they put their mind to it. So we need to make sure that doesn't happen and we go through.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Hibs finished the job. Thanks again to Liam from the Hibs Ramble. They've also made a sixth summer signing today as well. Miguel Chiwa, young midfielder from Young Boys, 21-year-old, joined on a 3-year deal. So David Gray adding to his group going into the remainder of the season. Let's bring in Paul, who's on the other line. How are you, Paul?
Very well. Yourself, guys?
Absolutely brilliant, Paul. Last night, in fact, the couple of nights leading up to it, we were almost cutting Dundee United a bit of slack. We were talking about Rapid Vienna being, you know, a proper team at this level, quarter finalists of the Conference League last season, you know, trading players for kind of millions of pounds, Dundee United having injuries and a new look squad, and then you go and do that. How good was it?
It was incredible, yeah. I mean, I wasn't one of the lucky ones that was over in Vienna. I was watching in a living room in Dundee, but all the same, it was incredible when the goals were going in. And yeah, just a great performance overall when we were massive underdogs before it.
Do you think, yeah, even, you know, the result's brilliant, Paul, but as you say, within that, the performance, like, granted, had to defend a lot at different times. And of course, you know, there was the goal ruled out, which would have been so cruel to lose it in that way. But, you know, just a proper brave performance as well. Not like desperately hanging on and completely riding your luck. It wasn't really like that, was it?
No, it didn't feel like that. So, I mean, not to me, and I'm a United fan, and that's usually, I'm quite pessimistic, so usually it does feel like we're hanging on against whoever we're playing. But no, it was, once again, it's an example of Jim Goodwin being able to just galvanise a team of strangers, essentially, because they've just all been brought in the summer there. And I know he said some criticism about them, no many Scottish players or any coming in, but he's got them all pulling in the same direction, and last night was a prime example of that.
Scott, you were on the game for television coverage last night. As we covered earlier, you were wearing Hugh Keevan's shirt, which is by the by. What did you make of that one? How impressed?
I thought they were fantastic. I think, obviously, Paul touched on the fact that it's such a new team. I think, obviously, the changeover in the summer, to ask them to come in and go and produce a performance like that, bear in mind there was an injury during the game and they had to bring on an attacker, probably a bit earlier than they would have wanted to, I'd imagine. I think he did get, I think Dolcek at times, when he was asked to defend, was maybe caught out a bit in positioning, but going forward certainly looks a real threat. And also, we've spoken about the Scottish thing for the last couple of weeks. I thought the Scottish player that was playing last night, and Craig Seward, I thought he was fantastic. A real calm head in there, broke up a lot of play, and ultimately your two strikers so important in a night like that, and Sapsford looks a real fine for Dundee United. He showed moments of real quality last night. So Listen, I think a full Tannadice, obviously, with knowing what's at stake, I think it's going to be incredible there next Thursday.
I'm going to wear my granddad's shirt tomorrow so that I can say I'm wearing Scott Allen's shirt.
Do you know the worst of it is that I genuinely nearly phoned you earlier and asked you to wear it so that I could make that joke when he came in live in person, but I just went out of my mind. Your fashion choices were not my
cost number.
Were not my priority. I don't think that's where Hugh got his, for what it's worth. Paul, how do you view this tie then next week? Because clearly, I mean, they showed enough that to know that they could come to Tannadice and win, but how confident are you?
You know what, as a United fan, all I wanted was for the game next week to mean something. Now again, I did touch on my pessimism before matches earlier. To bring it back to Tannadice, it's a one-off game. It's essentially level. That's all that anybody could have wanted for United point of view. And I think we're still the underdogs because that team, I'm not sure how much better they can be or if that was them at their peak, I doubt that very much. That was them at the top of their game. So it's not going to be easy. We've given ourselves a hell of a good chance, though.
Looking Paul, forward to them.
Remember the words of the great Dundonian, Michael Mara, Dundee United fan, all will be well.
You've got a quote for everything, honestly. Thank you very much to Paul from the Dode Fox podcast. Both sets of fans, they are clearly delighted with last night. I felt emotionally invested. Just, you know, knowing what it meant for
me too.
Scottish football. You're Mr. Hibs and
you cannot underestimate the quality of that result. You know, the Vienna, Celtic, Rangers, whoever would go and struggle in Vienna. And this is a Dundee United team gathered in the summertime from many, many different countries. And in a very short space of time, Jim Goodwin has them good enough to perform like that and bring back a result like that. What a great night at Tannadice.
I was speaking to Jim Goodwin on Sunday at the Falkirk game, and I don't think he would mind me saying it. It's not like I'm giving away any secrets, but the impression I got from him is he was really aware of just how tough it was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, and again, the injuries, the kind of stretching the squad already, trying to integrate everyone.
That's so difficult.
I just came away from the conversation, and like I say, it was just a private conversation. It wasn't an interview or anything, but thinking, wow, he knows they're bang up against it, and yet they go and didn't look like it at all.
I wonder, there's a fantastic game on Sunday, Dundee United Hearts. I wonder how much it's taken out of them against the Hearts.
That's the challenge, isn't it?
Against the Hearts team, who I know Scott thought that Aberdeen were poor, but at the same time, this is a Hearts team on the rise.
That is the challenge. Right, well, thank Paul again and invite you to get in touch right now, please, if you can, 0141 951 1025. We'll talk next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. 0141 951 1025. David in the Gorbals has sent your full time teaser in tonight. He says since 1980, 8 Scotsmen have been nominated for the Ballon d'Or. Since 1980, 8 Scotsmen have been nominated for the Ballon d'Or. Can you name them?
Stevie Archibald.
Yes. Scott, there's a nice easy one to start you off.
Scott McTominay.
Scott McTominay yesterday. Well done to him.
Ali McCoist.
Yes. Okay, let's leave it there for now, because that's 3 down already. Only 5 to get. Since 1980, 8 Scotsmen have been nominated for the Ballon d'Or. Can you name them? Thank you again to David in the Gorbals, and it's full time at Clyde1.com. Let's bring in Darren on the line. How are you, Darren?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. What made you call tonight?
I'm just wanted to obviously mention Hibs. Like, I'm not going to lie, they'll finish about third this season. Like, they're bringing like top quality players, passionate players, and very like technical and strong players as well. So I think they'll do well this season.
Well, they've already done well. But that's why I say I think Edinburgh, keep your eye on Edinburgh. We all know about Glasgow and the two teams who live here. But I think Hearts and Hibs will be outstanding contributors to the excitement of the Premiership this season. I'll be really looking forward to the first time they meet each other.
How impressed were you last night, Darren?
Oh, very impressed with that team. Martin Boyle's unreal as well. Like, what a player he is. He's worth, I would say he's worth at least 7 million anyway.
Wow. Don't hold your breath.
Ian Gordon would be happy with that. There's a cruel aspect to football nowadays, Scott, where 32 is considered old, as Martin Boyle is, and Hibs I would not get 7 million for him for that reason.
Absolutely not. I think he only signed a year extension as well. But listen, I think Martin Boyle has been a fantastic servant to Hibs for the last, I think, 11 years it maybe is. I remember the first time he came in on the loan deal. He came from Dundee for Alex Harris, was the boy
swap
we had
deal. I know, incredible, isn't it?
And I remember him when he was 16. They came into Dundee United on trial, and I remember him turning up that day, and he was tiny, very skinny, and lasted a week. And went back to Montrose. But what a career he's had! Some of the big goals he scored for Hibs as well. Always capable, and he's still got that little turn of pace. I just think this year, obviously, the change of shape and getting him into areas where he can actually go and affect teams has been the massive changing point. And David Gray's been the guy who's done that.
Do you remember that, Hugh? It's one of the great stories. No harm to Alex Harris. He becomes collateral damage in the stat, if you like. But a swap deal, Dundee and Hibs, Alex Harris and Martin Boyle. Yeah. Last night in Europe, he scored his 100 and his 101st goal.
Yeah.
Just an unbelievable contribution in that time.
I'm not trying to detract in any way from Martin Boyle, but David Gray in the passing. David Gray was that much away from getting the sack not so very long ago, and it was that infamous or famous 3-3 draw with Aberdeen that changed the club around. And what a job he has done. And to get Grant Hanley to go to the club, it says a lot for Hibs, a lot for Malcolm Mackay's powers of persuasion, getting Grant Hanley in there, and a lot for David Gray.
Darren, is there a concern about balancing Europe and domestic football? Because year after year, we do see teams who are not used to it struggling with it.
I think personally that we might struggle, but it is what it is, realistically. But as long as we do well in the league, and as far as we can go in the Conference League, then I'm sure Royals will be happy.
Well, Darren stepped him to finish third, so he doesn't think they'll struggle that much with that. But it's a challenge, a real challenge.
Yeah, it is in terms of squad. I think at the weekend when they faced Dundee, I think they only made one change to that squad, and then it was basically the same team again last night. So maybe he's just, listen, I think when you've got something good going, you kind of ride off the adrenaline, the confidence that the team have built within themselves in terms of the results that they've had, especially against a much higher opposition. Obviously finishing third last year gave them something to aim for in terms of Europe. But listen, what Dave Gray, the signings as well, as we speak with the Jamie McGraths, Josh Mulligan coming in, two guys to actually come in and strengthen your starting 11, that was a massive thing for Hibs. And that's the importance of getting the right signings. We always speak about that, don't get the right signings. Two guys have come in and really affected the start 11, and Hibs are getting the rewards for it.
Thank you, Darren. Let's bring in Kenny. How are you, Kenny?
I'm all right, guys. How are you all?
Good. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking I'm quite surprised that you sort of leaning towards Edinburgh. We're all sparring biffs over the years, Hugh, but
that's where his journalism career started, is it not?
No,
or he's spent some good years there.
I spent 17 years in Edinburgh on the famous newspaper there, The Scotsman, and I loved Edinburgh. And Kenny, I know you're a jambo. I just think that you've assembled a team and with a manager who can go a long way this season. I've actually tipped Hearts to win the Premier Sports Cup final. I'm sorry, Kenny, but I have. And I think that Hibs are clearly making massive strides as well. I think the city of Edinburgh is going to be quite the place this season.
Well, I'm glad to be. I'm a season ticket holder, as you know, but me and the kids. I think it's looking good this season. You know, and I watched the Tony Bloom interview last week, and very, very impressed by what that guy's saying.
Yeah.
And when he actually paid, he's fed up looking from outside. The last 35 years being dominated by the Glasgow teams. I'm all for the. You know, I mean, Romanov, he was a blur, but he did raise a few eyebrows and brought us a couple of cups, but I'm looking forward to this season, Hugh. You did as well.
You know what, Kenny? Romanov sold you false promises, false dawns. This guy, Tony Bloom, has got a past when it comes to putting money into clubs and making them successful. So he didn't come off a submarine like Vladimir Romanov. He came with £10 million, and you know, I just look at Hearts and think, and Hibs and think this is going to be very interesting.
Back to what we said though, Scott, you wonder if all other things are equal, you wonder if it then suits Hearts domestically to not have the European competition to balance
it. Yeah, I think in terms of as the season progresses, come that Christmas period that we all speak about, it's very important. If Hibs were to make it through, then ultimately you would have some sort of fatigue sent to that squad, and Hearts would be sitting on the outside, obviously having the full week preparation. So in terms of player fitness and that, they would be in a better position to go and win games. But listen, I think the David Gray train is well underway. I think they've got a real confidence about them. They've got some real quality in the team now, and I think they'll be hard to stop for third.
Yeah, and they're the ones that sort of have the knock-on effect of the European football, because playing Dundee United on Sunday as a result.
Which is an interesting point, Gordon, because Hearts don't have that European complication. Mm. They don't have it through their own inefficiency. Sure. They had a bad season last time out. But to help further their cause, they don't have that complication. I mean, Celtic, Rangers, Dundee United and Hearts have all got it, but not Hibs, rather.
At the same time, see if Hibs were to go through, though, and you obviously you would be guaranteed some money. Hibs would absolutely strengthen the squad. They'd add a couple of players, absolutely.
Yeah, of course. Listen, you want to be in it for the financial gain, but you can always look at it both ways. I met one high-profile member of the Hearts squad who shall remain nameless today, yeah. And he said, "Oh, I really hope they both go through." And I went, "I know, it'd be great for Scottish football, wouldn't it?" And he went, "No, I just saw that it helps us in the league if they're distracted." So that will be the mindset. Thank you to Kenny anyway on 01419511025. I'll take one more guess each from you on the teaser, David and the Gorbals. Since 1980, 8 Scotsmen have been nominated for the Ballon d'Or. You've got Scott McTominay, Ali McCoist and Stevie Archibald.
Brian McClure?
Nope.
Gary McAllister?
Nope.
Paul Lambert?
No.
Struggling. Paul McStay?
No. Yes, 1984 I think he was. So there we go in that one. Big game in the Championship tonight, Hugh. We're a big fan of the Friday night football, and I think most people, not you, because you unfortunately jinxed your old pal Mark Wilson and tipped them to win the title before they lost
5-1. What
way
to
go.
Did you tip them?
I'll let Ray's Partick Thistle.
They obviously lost 5-1 5-1 against St Johnstone.
When they lose their Alec Ray's Partick Thistle, when they win their Mark Wilson's, I'm only kidding.
I think most people would have St Johnstone and Ross County, the two teams relegated, as favourites, and they go head to head tonight away.
I think you can call St Johnstone free scoring St Johnstone. 13 goals in the last two games.
A Stevie Mallon special.
Yeah, well, and you know, a lot of people think that Ross County will come up in a winner. Because Roy McGregor's been good to Don Cowie in terms of finance.
He really has. I mean, even today, added Alex Iacovite and James Scott from St Mirren. Iacovite going back up there. I'm looking at the teams tonight. Again, I read it out when they played last week, but Ross Laidlaw in goal, who was a very good Premiership keeper, really, for Ross County. I think Akil Wright was decent in the Premiership for County. Iacovite's back in. Declan Gallagher, we spoke about earlier.
Yeah.
O'Sullivan at left back. Dean Cornelius, formerly of Motherwell, in midfield with Connor Randall. Jay Henderson, Jamie Lindsley, Gary Mackay-Steven, and Ronan Hale, who most people would say is just too good for the Championship. Yeah. But he's still there and he leads the line. As for St Johnstone, a few more unfamiliar names: Stewart, Spangler, Diabate, Jack Baird, Fools, Jason Holt, Reese McAleer, who did excellent last week. Stevie Mallon scored. Jamie Gullen's been on fire. Josh McPake at the hat-trick. And Adama Sidibe. Like we said, you know, I'm looking at both benches. The Championship has Nicky Clark, Jordan White, James Scott, Mackenzie Kirk, Uchi Piatsu, you know, players like that on the bench for these two. It feels like they're both, on paper, certainly well-equipped.
Mm.
How does that transpire?
Who do you fancy, Scott?
Tonight, Ross County.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards them as well.
Listen, we can drag the Highlanders, the Championship sides, into our knee-jerk world here. They're the ones that will be a bit more pressure on tonight, surely, because they're at home and they drop points in the first week. Now, it's a long season and the Championship's quite wacky and quite fluid.
But they are well resourced,
though, and like I say, they've dropped points already, so they'll want to put that right tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially against someone who they expect to be their nearest competitors for the league, so listen, that game takes care of itself.
Definitely looking forward to that one kicking off pretty soon there in the Highlands. 01419511025. If you want to get in touch, please do. We can revisit earlier topics, Celtic's transfer business, Russell Martin on leaking of teams. Here's one for you as well, Rangers fans. He's starting to get a bit frustrated already. Hamza Igaman and Tello Asgard still not fit, especially Asgard. I thought he was touch and go for the first Panathinaikos game, which seems like ages ago. Neither of them will feature this weekend. Neither will Mikey Moore, because he's still not got the international clearance, because he doesn't turn 18 till Monday. So as of Monday, he should be fine, but it's dragging on a little bit and you still won't be able to see him.
Has Manny Fernandez had any game time yet?
Not really competitively, no. Played the Bournemouth... Middlesbrough friendly, sorry.
Rangers paid what, 3.5 million for him?
Jigan Suter,
he's
been excellent, hasn't he? And Suter was in as captain. So anyway, give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Been a quick show tonight. Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are in the final part already, but crucially still time for you to get in touch, and we would love it if you would do that for us. So let's hear from you on 0141 951 1025. About to kick off Friday night football. It is an absolute cracker between Ross County and St Johnstone. Obviously a Premiership fixture many times over in recent seasons, but both looking for promotion back to the top flight. David in the Gorbals wants you to name the eight Scotsmen since 1980 that have been nominated for the Ballon d'Or. Scott McTominay this week, Ali McCoist in 1987, Stevie Archibald in 1985, Paul McStay in 1984.
Bo Johnson?
No.
Paul Sturrock?
No.
John Collins?
Can I be quite blunt here and say you're missing some obvious ones?
Really?
Yeah.
Darren Fletcher?
As good as Darren Fletcher was, I'm asking you since 1980. Who's the best Scotland player you've seen since... Who's the best Scottish player you've seen since 1980?
You going to tell me Andy Robertson?
No.
Graeme Souness?
Not even who I was meaning, but yes, Graeme Souness. Because I assumed you would say...
Alan Hansen?
No. Come on!
You assumed I would say...
Since 1980, who's the best Scottish footballer?
Dalglish?
Hmm. Oh. I'm sure that's what you would have responded, no?
Well, I'd forgot all about
okay. Kenny Alan Dalglish. Hansen? No. All right, we'll leave it there because you've only got two to get. Kenny Dalglish is in. Let's bring in Alex in Blantyre. How are you, Alex?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
All good in here. Can't complain. What have you got for us then?
Just a wee opinion. It's all about transfers and the Rangers. I was at the game on Tuesday night. It's the first I've been for a wee while. I'm talking about Cyril Dessers, right? There's people... By the way, I've been his biggest critic at times as well. But I thought he had a really, really good game. I would hate to lose him. He was top goal scorer last year. A lot of folk forget. Obviously, think about all the strikers. Igamani, I talk about this and that. But I would really just say, I would keep big Cyril Dessers. I think it could be really good for us this season. Your opinion on that?
By Russell Martin's own admission, Dessers is the only player for whom Rangers have received an official offer. But it's all gone very quiet on that front. I think Rangers, though, do have to offload because, you know, that they're moving very nicely in terms of the Champions League qualifier and so on and so forth. But their wage bill was bigger than Celtic 9 players ago. They've added 9 players since then, and the model of financial sustainability that Andrew Kavanagh spoke about, players are going to have to go in this window. And
I'm not quite sure in the way that would include like Yilmaz, you know, it would include all the squad players, and players have gone off the wage bill since period you're referring to. I don't think that would accelerate any need to get rid of Cyril Dessers.
Well, I think if Rangers receive tasty offers for Dessers or Igaman, I think they'd have to consider it.
What do you think, Scott? Because it would be pretty hard to replace. I know not everyone agrees with that, but in terms of numbers, as Alex just alluded to.
Yeah, well, for me, I think I said in one of the summer shows, I think if you had bids for two of them, if I was a Rangers fan, I'd be happier to see Igaman go, and I would hold on to Dessers. I think at this age, and obviously the goal contributions I had last year, I thought it was excellent the other night as well. I would much rather keep Cyril Dessers and Igaman if it was between both of them.
because I've got no idea what the wage bill is, Hugh, but worth bearing in mind that he doesn't stand still. Yanis Hadji's off it, Tom Lawrence is off it, Robin Proper's off it, who else left? Leon Balogun. You know, it's been, there has been comings and goings. Do you think he will stay, Alex? Is that your gut?
I don't see for the transfer fee we're going to get. See, we're talking the figure of 5 million. I don't think they're going to replace him for, all right, but as I say, biggest credit, I don't think you're going to replace him for that kind of money.
Yeah, let's hear a couple of, yeah, I was going to say, let's hear a couple of bits from Russell Martin, which maybe adds to those areas. Let's hear him on transfers first.
We're really strong in some areas now. We're less strong in others, and then we have to be ready if anyone moves on as well. So I think it's the same thing. I think we'll try and improve the squad wherever we can. I think we've really sort of drilled down to a couple of key areas we need to make sure we have strength and depth in, and we'll do it when it's right for us, I think, when we have the right people and the right time for us. So yeah, I don't think we're done. I don't think we're done by any stretch of the imagination, but I also don't envisage there being another 6 or 7. So it'll depend on who goes out as well at some time. But yeah, I think we still need to strengthen a few bits.
It's not all about the number, because it can mean different things and be offset by players leaving, but it's 9 in already, Hugh. And he's saying, oh, I don't think there'll be 6 or 7 more. Okay, well, but does that mean, can there be 4 more on top of the 9? Can there be 5 more on top of the 9?
I can understand why there have been 9 so far, because you're dealing with a club who have struggled for years. For the last 14 years, Celtic have won 13 of the titles. Rangers were dealing with failure, a culture of failure. And so when the takeover came, it followed that the team would need to be overhauled completely. And that's what Russell Martin is in the process of doing. And so it had to be that way. I think at some point they'll need to look at the books and make sure that everything's okay in that direction. But I understand why he has taken the side apart and rebuilt it.
Now let's hear from Russell Martin also on the injuries, because this is become, I think, a small frustration for the Rangers fans. Like I said earlier, Tello Asgard was meant to be touch and go for the first Panathinaikos game. Missed that, missed the Middlesbrough friendly, missed the second Panathinaikos game, missed the Motherwell game, Victoria Pilsen, and won't make this week either. Alongside Hamza Igaman, here's what the manager had to say.
They both made really good steps the last few days. Been really positive few days for them. Lots of work on the training pitch. So they're fit to be on the grass, and they've been working really hard with the rehab guys, but not quite ready to be involved in the squad yet. Yeah, I think he missed 2 weeks because of the visa thing. So probably came back quite a bit behind the other group, and we tried to speed up the process of getting him ready to train. And then he played his first minutes and picked up an injury because the intensity is a bit different in the game. So now we have to get him really ready to actually perform and not risk being injured again. But in terms of the speculation stuff, we've not had any bids for Hamza. And he's a really good lad. He's really got on with it and working really hard with his English and everything else. So, yeah, just needs to get fully fit, I think.
Alex, it was a disappointing week in the league, getting the campaign up and running for the third season in a row with a failure to win. No disrespect to Dundee, but that is not the type of fixture at Ibrox tomorrow where fans would be willing to settle for anything less than a good win, is it?
I know, a good positive. I thought the boy Leo Cameron did a fantastic game. Yeah. The team, I thought it was a really good positive. So, still what the young boys were saying, don't know. Right? So, the squad's coming together pretty well. Yes, there's some scary moments at the back still, I think, but I think we're just going to have to ride with that and go with it. But no, I'm still pretty positive.
He'll get a good reception off the travelling Dundee fans.
Not after that interview.
You feel for Stephen Presley. You know, he can't attract players to Dundee. I know Jan Danda.
Jan Danda today, yeah, though, which if he get the Ross County version, yeah, then that's a good signing.
When he went to Hearts, I thought he'll blossom there, but he didn't.
Yeah, I thought the same here.
And now he'll start again. But Stephen Presley's had a rough time trying to attract players to Dundee. He lost his first game at home against Hibernian. He couldn't get out of his Premier Sports Cup group. So even I could say that Rangers will win comfortably tomorrow.
It might not be the best example because we've not seen it yet from Dundee to know that they're really disciplined and you know, really well set up. They might be, but I just mean we've not seen it yet, Scott, but it could be the sort of welcome to Scottish football yes. type bit for Russell Martin, because this is the challenge. You've played in Europe, you've done well, everyone was really up for it, it's great. But now Dundee might come and sit everyone back behind the ball, and Ibrox might get a bit antsy after half an hour. You know, we have done this time and time and time again.
That's his team talk, Gordon. It'll be can we get to half time? Can we frustrate them? Can we get the fans to turn on the team and the boos to come? And Rangers then start to obviously gamble and maybe hit them on the counter attack. But in fairness, I think Rangers will have far too much for Dundee. I think the fact when Stephen Presley came in, he said he had already planned a way that he had set out for his team to play, and then once he seen the players he had, he realised he had to kind of change his philosophy. So that's never good.
That's the point, Scott. It's the quality of the people who are parking the bus.
Yes,
you can park the bus and maybe even get away with it, but it depends on the quality of those who are parking the bus.
Yeah, on paper it's probably quite a good fixture for Rangers to have, isn't it? Off the back of the, because you know, let's not forget, last week, it was only 6 days ago, so much negativity after Fir Park. Can they get up and running with the first win? We'll find out tomorrow. Still goalless between Ross County and St Johnstone. Where are you on your eight Scotsmen who have been nominated for the Ballon d'Or since 1980? Kenny Dalglish, Graeme Souness, Paul McStay, Stevie Archibald, Ali McCoist and Scott McTominay.
Can we get Anita?
Oh, well, both early 80s. I've not had many in recent times.
That's your area, Hugh.
I know.
One is, I mean, so many clues I could give you for this guy, former Celtic and Scotland manager.
Celtic Scotland manager, Strachan?
Yes, Gordon Strachan, 83 and 84.
Billy Bremner?
Nope. The other one, the only clubs I need to mention really are Ipswich and Liverpool, Hugh.
Ipswich and Liverpool.
Fullback?
Nope, midfielder, I think. Before my time, obviously.
I can see his face. I'm trying to remember his name. Shut up.
Has he got a tash?
He does.
Has he got a tash?
Yeah. They all did, though.
I know.
If you don't get this, you need to bring your tash back.
And my shirt.
That's the rule.
You're doing my head in. Shut up. What's his name?
Come on, Hugh.
He came from Yoka.
I think you might be right around that. Certainly not far. Do you want his initials?
Yeah.
JW.
John Wark.
Well done, right. Thank you, Hugh Keevans.
Right to the death.
You better be better with East Kilbride than you were last weekend.
He was waiting for
3-1
that.
3-1 at home. Some coach you turned out to be.
Enjoy Elgin. We'll be back tomorrow from 2. You.